The reading today comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 21. So I'll give you a few seconds to find it. Matthew chapter 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, Abijah, the father of Asa, Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram, Jehoram, the father of Uzziah, Uzziah, the father of Jotham, Jotham, the father of Ahaz, Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, Manasseh, the father of Amon, Amon, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, the father of Abihud, Abihud, the father of Eliakim, Eliakim, the father of Azor, Azor, the father of Zadok, Zadok, the father of Achim, Achim, the father of Elihud, Elihud, the father of Eleazar, Eleazar, the father of Mathan, Mathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Sophia. Well done. I've read those names before, but I got lost in the wonder of you wearing such a beautiful dress and then wearing Blundstone boots. But still, we all have our quirks. Today we are talking about Christmas and focusing on family, if you hadn't noticed yet. And we just had read to us a very extended family tree of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born on this day so long ago. And it reminded me that family is a big part of the celebration of today. But there are different kinds of families. So what you need to do is try and identify yourself in one of these. There's this kind of family. Everyone's just nice. And look at all that. The children looking in on the baby. They're all so happy. Husband and wife are actually smiling at each other. And it all looks pretty normal. That might be your family, or perhaps it's more like this, where it's a bit chaotic. This is the Griswolds family Christmas, and they're at the moment being arrested. But other than that, it's a great day for the Griswold family. It's a little bit chaotic, but they're all there, and they're enjoying it, and they love that they finally got together. So there's those two kinds of families, but then there is a third, and maybe this is yours. Where just things don't go as planned. I don't know if you can see that, but everyone's smiling except for the dogs and the child holding the sign, joy. It doesn't always go as we would like. And perhaps today, you have an opportunity to be one of those kinds of families, and perhaps none of those really represent the kind of family that you're from, but Jesus is from a family. We sometimes think that he suddenly arrives, in the manger, or suddenly arrives as an adult in the stories that we hear about Jesus. But that's not actually how Matthew, one of Jesus' followers, begins his account of what happened on those first days. This is what he actually writes. He says, this is the written story. This is the account. Matthew starts by telling us that he wants for us to see that the story of Jesus has a beginning and it begins inside a family. This is the story of the family line of Jesus. Matthew 1, verse 1. And so when Matthew writes all these names out, some of them are very hard to pronounce. Some of them are pretty popular. I don't know that there's many Jehoshaphats out there, but there's Isaacs and Jacobs. There are Marys, and there are some of the names that are used. But when we look at Jesus' lineage, Matthew wants to draw attention to a couple of things. He says, this is the written story. This is the family line of Jesus. He says, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then he works backwards through that. And so he is the son of Abraham, the family that out of all the families on the earth, God chose to bring about his purposes for the entire world. And Abraham was known to be a father of faith to so many, but particularly here, Matthew wants for us to remember that Jesus comes from within the family that God himself had chosen to be the one who would not just be a model and a picture of what God's life for us was like, but also the one who would come and make the difference in the world so that all of us could be connected to God. He's the son of Abraham. And he's the son of David, the great king David, who in his time was able to show what it looked like, for the most part, to actually have God in charge of the people through his servant David. And then he says he is the Messiah. He is the long-awaited king. And so Matthew sets it out very particularly. He says there's the son of Abraham, so that Jesus is part of the family of faith. But also he is the son of David, which makes him part of a family of promise, because David was promised there would be a king who would rule all the world, not just Israel, but all kingdoms. And so Jesus comes from this family, and so when Matthew writes down that he's the Messiah, he's also in a family that has great expectations. There's something to come. And Matthew, beginning the written story of Jesus like this, is saying he is this baby that's about to be born to Mary, that the Joseph is about to be warned in, like encouraged in a dream to continue on in the path that his family has. That's the Jesus that we're talking about. Jesus who comes from this incredible family lineage, from kings and great heroes of faith. And ultimately, Matthew gives us a clue in the very first verse that Jesus is the king that we've all been waiting for. What an amazing family. But is it a perfect family? Is it the one where everyone sits around the tree and opens presents? Or is there something hidden within Jesus' family that we're not meant to know? And I think sometimes when it comes to family, not only just the pictures of family, but sometimes I believe the kind of family tree that you have is mirrored a little bit by our Christmas tree. So you've got three to choose from. What kind of family tree is yours? Is it the beautiful, everything in its place, just showing wonder and joy and glory to the world? Or is it the one in the middle, which I'm not really sure how to describe, but I've seen families and been part of families like that where it's just all over the place? Or perhaps you're part of the family that has cats in this instance, that rope off the family and keep it isolated in case anything damages it. But whichever family tree is yours, Jesus is part of one of those family trees. But which one was it? Was it the perfect one, the chaotic one, or the one that's guarded? And this is what we do when we come to family. We have a designation about who's in and who's out. Whether what we tell people about our family, what we don't tell people about our family. But because I'm an oversharer, I'm going to share a little bit about how you can get onto our family tree, because you can earn your place on our tree. We have two daughters who are now married. They have a couple of steps they go through before they become part of our family tree. Perhaps you've got these kinds of steps as well. If they get to a certain point, they can take third place, which is where we agree to be with those extras, sometimes called boyfriends or girlfriends. If they get to third place, which is not the best, third place, we will celebrate their birthday. They get to choose a restaurant, we will attend. But it's pretty of a light touch to be part of that family. Now, when the kids got engaged, those people moved into second place. They could join the WhatsApp family group, but only the family group, because that's engaged and they could be blocked or knocked off at any time. But you know that you're part of the family when you actually make it to the tree. It looks a little bit like this. You get your own figurine with your name on the tree. Now, we are not going to expend that great amount of money, about $25, to get you on that tree until you are fully connected. And then you're in first place. We learnt this because the first boyfriend of one of our girls didn't last and we had to break his. And so we put these steps in place because we don't want people in our family, do we, that we are embarrassed about or somehow disconnected. Which comes to my point. Who is in this family? Who has a place in the family of Jesus? Now, we hear about the highlights, Abraham and David. Then there's all of those other names. But there's one thing that Matthew does, which is really interesting. And this is why I love Scripture so much, because God, in his great wisdom, uses the person who writes the account in the kind of personality and situation and experience they've had to share with us the kinds of things that are important to all of us through people who have very interesting pasts. And so we see here that this genealogy is written, and Matthew makes the point, it's 14, 14, 14. Now, that doesn't make much sense, except to know that Matthew used to be a creative Roman accountant or a tax collector. He was all about the numbers. He was all about making sure it worked. But he worked out that the 14, 14, 14 tells us that God's plan is moving at exactly the right time and in exactly the right space, exactly as God had planned it. It's a way of saying this has been planned perfectly. 14, 14, 14. But there's something else that Matthew knew that perhaps you and I have experienced, but he certainly experienced. And that is that he was an outsider. An outsider to his own family, an outsider to his own people, because he worked for the enemy. He was a traitor in their eyes. He knew what it was like to be excluded and cut off and set away from the rest. And so within all of the family, Matthew does something that is unprecedented. There are lots of stories in the Bible. There are lots of lists of family names. And except for one very odd one, nobody mentions the wives. Partly, it was simpler perhaps to keep the records through the family line of the eldest child or the eldest male. But I think Matthew added in these names because he knew what it was like to be an outsider. And the four women that he mentions probably already feeling outsider in a society that was dominated by men. But these four women all have one thing incredibly in common. They are all not from the family of faith. They are not from within the Israelite family. Some of them had shady pasts. Some of them were faultless. But here we see in Jesus' family, and Matthew records it for us, there are some things in this family which would make us pause to think, is this part of the family that brings Jesus into the world? And yet I think Matthew's done us a great service because he's saying that in Jesus' family, there are things that have happened, much like in yours and mine, and he is not embarrassed. Matthew is not embarrassed about these, what I call, open secrets. And you can imagine that when we then get to the story of Joseph talking of secrets in a family, here's Joseph about to marry Mary, and Mary is discovered to be pregnant, and he knows that it wasn't him. And he, being one who is already engaged to her, which is formally or informally married, and then they've officially married a little bit later when they're betrothed, he decides to try and keep the secret to protect Mary, to protect himself. He's an honourable man. And so as he's thinking about what he should do, how to maintain the fabric of his little world, his little family, the angel comes and says, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. The baby inside her is from the Holy Spirit. She's going to have a son. And you must give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. At this list of 42 names comes the last name, the name of Jesus. And names have a meaning. Just as Abraham carried those family through promises and David carried the family through things to come, Jesus the Messiah comes as part of this family. It's a messy one, like mine. It's got all kinds of unusual and strange people in it, like mine. It has those whom not normally mentioned, those who come from outside, like mine. That's who Jesus came from. But the message really for today is this. The people Jesus came from are the people that Jesus came for. Matthew is not ashamed to show that Jesus came from a long list of crazy people. He included people deliberately that are never included in a genealogy, the women, to show that even those from outside the normal understanding of what it meant to be part of God's people, they were also included and welcomed, in fact, essential. These are the people that Jesus came from. And these are the people the angel tells Joseph that Jesus came for. Because the verse says this. You must name him Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. That's what the Messiah is sent to do. To save his people. Well, who are those people? Well, all the ones that were listed, which includes Israel, the special people of God that he had chosen before, but also all people from all nations, all of the people around. Jesus came for them. And what he came to do is crucial. He didn't come just to be admired and wondered at and celebrated and worshipped, although all of those things happened at Christmas. The angel tells us that he comes as a rescuer, not as an event only, not as a show, not as one of those Christmas window displays. That's not what he came for. He came for people. And he came for one very particular reason, to save people from their sins. Now, we can define sin in all kinds of ways, but simply said, sin is the actions and the thoughts and the desires that cut us off from God and his good purposes for us. At Christmas time, we understand that God did not stay away from it. Far from staying away from our brokenness and our turning away from him, he actually sought us out and he actually enters our world. You see, the kinds of people that Jesus' family were just like you and I. They were jealous, they were bitter, they were angry, some were murderers, some were fearful, some were cowards, some were cheats, some were liars, and some of those were those who stole from others. They were all kinds of people. There was nothing particularly special about them when it comes to needing rescue from sin. They were just like us. But the news of Jesus is he came to save and to rescue from sin. And that's worth celebrating. And even more than that, as Brian hinted in his cheat family, we are included into the family of God. We're not just rescued and sent heavenward, we're rescued and placed into a new people, a new family. And as a church, we are an expression, a local expression, a broken, sometimes wonderful, sometimes frustrating example of what it looks like to be part of God's people who've been rescued. We're still broken and we still make mistakes. We still do all of the things that that dumb people do, but we know that Jesus has rescued us from them all. And so we are those who love him and worship him, serve him, and give thanks to him for all that he has done for us. And today we remember he entered into the world so that we could be rescued. So I'm going to invite our music team to come, and we're going to sing to the name of Jesus. It's called What a Wonderful Name. Jesus, What a Wonderful Name. And in one of the verses, it tells us that God didn't want heaven without us. And it says, so God, you brought heaven down. Jesus, when he brought heaven down, he literally brings God as he is born into this world. And so Jesus has a wonderful, powerful, amazing name, and we're going to celebrate that at this time. So let's stand and sing together.